Greetings, party people, and welcome to episode 122 of the Nerds Travaganza Podcast, where nerdy fun is always on tap, and only half the barmaids have facial hair. I'm Tom.
I'm Brian.
And I am Nick.
All three of us have facial hair. Full disclosure. Yeah, so we may not be the barmaid you're looking for, but then again, we may be your company. Anyway, that said, this week we will be discussing our recent visits to cool places. We sort of expand on an idea we touched on last week during, I believe, our weekly DVD roundup, where we were discussing how we can make our hometown a little more amenable to people of our geeky persuasion. But first, let's stick with tradition and commence with our weekly geekly roundup. Nick, why don't you go first this week, man? What have you been up to?
Well, you see, last week I did say that I was going to play Ninja Gaiden 2, and I did start it, and I was going to continue with my lost, nightly marathon. But you seemed to interrupt it somehow by getting me to play Final Fantasy 14. What the hell, man?
We got to insert the Final Fantasy fanfare music here.
Yes, for sure. And it is, you know, I came into it with a half open mind because it was funny. I was telling you last week that I was not going to dabble in the genre anymore whatsoever. And you just seemed to kind of insist on it, so I gave it a shot, and you know what? Like, I was playing it, I was coming around, and then next thing you know, like, I'm 4 or 5 hours in, I'm like, alright, I guess I'll give this a shot. So, yep, I'm gonna stop mentioning Hearthstone, because at this point it's gonna be implied. I'm always playing Hearthstone every week. I might even start just streaming it on Twitch, so I'm thinking about it, we'll see down the line. And I guess that's about it on my end.
You can mention it every week. I have resisted the siren call of Hearthstone, as has Brian.
If I could keep talking about it, then. They recently patched it. They nerfed one of the clutch cards of one of the Hunter class. And that kind of irked me, but I'm kind of finding a way to work around it. So it's still a little inconvenient. Mm-hmm. But I think... it definitely made a lot of people happy. Apparently it was an OP card, so to speak. So, Well, you know what? I kept going with it, and it seemed to be the class, playing with the class is still okay, but it could be a lot better without that buff. Yeah. But that's because I'm being biased, because that's my favorite and probably best deck of cards for that particular class.
Yeah, it's nothing worse than losing a clutch card. That is, man, Brian, what do you think of that, Brian? You lose a lot of clutch cards yourself,
I've lost every one I ever had.
There you go. That polite invitation was meant to be gracefully declined, Nick.
I'll note that.
Just kidding, man. That's cool. I'm glad you have been amusing yourself with Hearthstone and other games, and I'm really glad you're into Final Fantasy XIV. Speaking of Final Fantasy XIV and people who are not yet playing it, what have you been up to, Brian?
My Orlando trip ended yesterday/last night. I visited a couple of cool spots up there. Nothing worth going into right now. I'm sure we'll discuss some in a bit during the episode, so I'll leave it for that. I will say one more thing that came out of my trip, though. It was a tourist bus, so it had signs in every language imaginable. And I was staring at them for several hours trying to learn the language by osmosis. When I remembered this app I downloaded for my phone once upon a time. I'm a big fan of the free app of the day.
Yeah.
So if it's even remotely interesting, I'll just take it, and I may never use it or I may never play it. But if it's cool, it'll pop up eventually. Well, something popped up. There is an app on Android. I'm sure it's on iPhones also, called Word Lens. Are either of you familiar with that?
No, I want to look that up right now.
Yeah, I'm also not familiar. What is it?
This is an app that kind of like overlays your camera. So you turn it on and you move your camera so that it's over text. You center it like you were trying to scan the barcode or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it, in real time, translates the words it sees into English.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. We're basically at the threshold of Star Trek now.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That is so cool.
It's still a little broken. Like, instead of fasten your seatbelt, it was like, tighten your belt, I think. It's really, really close. And I was so amazed. And even the app did such a good job of placing it right over the picture that it was kind of a mind fuck, like moving your camera. That's not what it says. Because it would actually like overlay it right over the sticker.
Oh, like a augmented reality sort of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
It didn't subtitle it or anything. It just changed what you were looking at.
Oh my god, this could revolutionize anime. I could watch unsubtitled anime in real time anywhere, and my phone could handle it for me. That's amazing. Do contain your excitement at that prospect, Brian.
I think it's only with the pictures, like with words and stuff. It's not picking up sound and then it shows you words, right?
You'd have to turn on the for the hearing impaired.
I'm like way ahead of you guys. Like, I'm already on version 4.0 of this, where it just like, yeah, totally translates. Yeah, it translates subtitles as we're going by, and then later it takes audio in and it gives you subtitles.
Well, that's just, well, eventually I'll take it a couple steps ahead of you. They will be implanting things within us that will do the auto translation, so nobody really has to break their native language. It would just be automatically translated. Wouldn't that be an ideal world, really?
It would, but, and I think Brian's going to back me up on this one. Actually, you will too, Nick. Problem with that is going to be, the voice you're going to hear is going to be like a bad American voice actor. You're not going to hear the original emotion that went into the Japanese voice work.
My name is Akira. I am pleased to meet you. Follow me, please.
Exactly.
I can deal with that.
Tetsuo.
That's a really cool app, though. I was just looking at screenshots on the App Store, and yeah, it basically replaces the word that you see in front of you, like through the lens of your camera, or camera phone, rather. So that's really interesting, because I was going to say that Google Translate kind of does that, but what it does is you take a picture of it, you highlight the foreign text, and then it'll translate it below. But it actually puts the words over the picture. So that's actually a really interesting app, that is, for Word Lens.
Yeah, it is cool. And I will just, one final use before we move on. I don't want to beat up your update till it's dead, Brian, but I have an awesome use for this thing. You can like walk up to people with like foreign character tattoos and find out what they really say.
Oh, hey, bro, yes. Oh, that is great. Oh,
I like that one.
Hey, bro, what's your tattoo say? Yo, it says inner strength. Actually, it says green banana.
Oh, that's great. That's great. That's such a good idea.
Yes, excellent. I think nothing can top this, Brian. But anything else going on in your week?
It's anticlimactic now, but I did submit the application to Japanime Games, so cross your fingers. We may be a volunteer soon.
Yes, this is for Crossmaster and their other offerings.
Yes.
Most excellent. I am a fan of them, I am a fan of Crossmaster, and I am a fan of us participating. Great!
What is that, Japanime Games?
Ah, listen to Nick getting interested in some tabletop now. Please describe it to Nick, Brian.
Well, I don't think I should do it yet. I mean, I'm not getting paid, so...
That's true.
No, I'm totally teasing. It's, they're tabletop games. They have a card-playing game.
Oh, okay.
And they have... Actually, being old school like us, you might really dig it. They have... It's a tabletop hex-based game, where it's a lot like the Shining Force mm-hmm. games, where, you know, the archer gets to attack three to the front and three to the sides, but the healer can heal in this circle around them. And,
uh-huh.
But it's a board game.
Interesting.
It's a cool game. Tom has the base set and I think some of the expansions.
Yeah, I have like two or three expansions, plus I picked up some new colored dice at PAX and a new Season 2 figure. I have way more of that stuff than the amount that I have played that game would warrant, but I'm hoping that's going to change.
Got it.
Having been conned into being the representative for our little group, I will insist that it change.
Excellent. By the way, I like that you worked conned in there after I mentioned PAX. That was very clever.
Unless that was not meant to be.
Well, it was meant to be now.
Oh, okay. Well, excellent. Excellent fit in.
All right, man. So that's great news. Why is that anticlimactic? That is climatic, if that's the opposite of anticlimactic.
Well, I didn't think it held up to, you know, world-changing Babelfish app.
Oh, well, it's not, yeah. Cool, man. So two home runs on your update. Anything else?
That's it for this week.
All right. That's pretty good. And I guess we will discuss your adventures in Orlando during the episode proper. First, let me regale you with tales of my week. A lot of video gaming. Basically a pretty subdued week. Playing a little more Pop LaCroix for the PSP. Playing some Kingdom Hearts Chain of Memories for the PlayStation 3. This is on the HD Remix disc. I was kind of stuck on that game, but as I was telling Nick the other day, I have made some progress. I'm feeling good about it again. I kind of have the system down, and I'm making my way through that game with relative ease now.
Yeah, it was hard for you to dismiss it, like, from, like, I guess the early get-go. You had to have given it more of a chance, and it looks like you have.
Yeah, exactly. It was just too jarring a change coming from the straight action RPG gameplay that was the first Kingdom Hearts to now having to deal with these cards. But now that I understand how the card system works, it's doable, and I'm enjoying it, so it's good.
That's good.
Yeah, and of course I recruited Nick into some Final Fantasy XIV, and I am really happy to report that he's having a good time with that, and I am going to do my level best to get you on board, Brian. That'll make three of us. That I don't think I've played any MMORPG with more than one person in years.
What was the last game that you played with many people?
It must have been WoW with you, Brian. That was like years ago, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was like level 60 WoW, I think.
Yeah, and was that before or after our ill-fated attempt at Final Fantasy XI?
Probably before. But I don't think we even got three people on at any one time for Final Fantasy.
Right, our schedules were really crappy for that, and that game was unforgiving if you didn't have people to play with you, so...
Yeah, I heard for the endgame boss, you had to really exploit him. Like, you couldn't even, like, try to do it fairly. Like, you had to... I guess you had to have, like, a certain set of a party to beat him. So, I mean, that's what I've heard. I don't know if you heard anything else like that.
Man, I don't know anything about that. I never even got to ride a chocobo or an airship or to subclass in that game.
How long did you play for? Like 5 minutes?
Brian, you want to go ahead and defend me on this one?
It was a few weeks. I'm not really sure it crept into a few months. But if I recall correctly, you had to be like level 20 to ride a chocobo.
What?
And you had to, being level 20, get through an area with like level 50 fucking Marlboros to earn the right to ride a chocobo. So it never happened.
Yeah, and you basically had to be a demigod to get a ticket to ride an airship. So that game was really tough.
Ah, gotcha.
Whereas on Final Fantasy XIV, any schlub can ride a chocobo and hop on an airship. It's cool. I love it.
As long as you pay that fee.
As long as you pay that fee.
But with all those dailies get you, like, good money. I've done a couple dailies with you and stuff. Well, I mean, like, a couple sessions of dailies because you can do a set amount of dailies a day.
Yep.
And, yeah, we earned, like, a easy, like, 3K in gil and stuff each time. So, I mean, I don't see money being a problem, at least not yet. When you want to start going to the broker and shit, that's a whole different story, I'm sure. Yep.
Perhaps, but for the time being, I mean, I think you agree with me. You can pop in this game whenever you want, have a rewarding play session, doing some quests and stuff, and not feel like you have to spend an entire weekend playing, right, Nick?
Yeah, unless you're part of a guild, but that's a whole different thing in itself.
Yep. So, anyway, like that game so much that my laptop it doesn't perform so well with it, so I went ahead and ordered it for the PS3 on Amazon. And while I was at it, I ordered the Final Fantasy X HD collection
from Amazon. Oh, man.
Yep, it's been a finally fantastic week for me, I guess.
Now you can see dress spears in high def.
You, for all your criticism of the dress spear system, Brian, you have actually sung that game's praises, and that means a lot to me, so I'm hoping I like it.
As strange as that is, like, I'm sure, like, it's an interesting and deep system, right?
Well, I make fun of 10-2 a lot. 10 wasn't terrible. 10 had a... I think it was the spear system, wasn't it? It wasn't dresses.
No. Well,
yeah, I thought it was the dress spheres.
No, I think 10-2 was, like, the... like, the all-female cast, right?
Yeah, and you do, like, wear different outfits and stuff, and it changes your attributes and such.
But it also does the little Sailor Moon, like, get naked to change clothes every time.
Which I'm sure is, like, amusing, like, the first 10 times, and then you just get real bored of it.
Well, the good news is I've got both of those coming to me, 10 and 10-2, in glorious HD, so I will be enjoying some RPG dress-up. Yeah, should be fun. All right, that's the end of my lengthy update that I thought wasn't going to be lengthy. Moving on, guys, let's get into tonight's topic. And for our listeners, we're going to be discussing our home state of Florida in the United States of America and our region of southeastern Florida in particular. But this is a topic I think that could be applied generally to any region that you want to geekify. And we're going to kind of go into some things that we've observed and what we'd like to see more of, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess to kick things off, I'll just say, you know, I'm always talking about how much I love it up here in Seattle. And Nick, you've been up here with me. You went with me to PAX last year. You can confirm there are cool places like the AFK Tavern where we had food and mead. Last year, that was cool. There was that cool little bar arcade called John John's Game Room that we went to, too. That was awesome.
Yes.
And I think you went with me to Pink Gorilla Games, the little independent gaming chain down here. They had a lot of used stuff. Did we hit that up while you were here?
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
They even had a booth at PAX. And, of course, last week I mentioned Vern and Wells, which is a way to kind of class up your geek hangout establishment, like sort of a private club. And of course, whenever I swing down to Portland, I hit up Ground Control, another classic arcade / bar, sort of a bar, take on the barcade concept. Anyway, I'm always going on and on about the Pacific Northwest and how great it is and how we should all leave Florida and move here. But as has been mentioned, Florida's kind of stepping up its game somewhat. And I think it's really good that last week Brian was in Orlando hitting up some of the sites and that you, Nick, recently attended in our hometown of Fort Lauderdale the classic arcade game night at Arcade Game Sales, a place that sells and services arcade game or arcade machines. I'm going to mention that our hometown of Fort Lauderdale is about, 3 hours south of Orlando. And if you don't know where Orlando is, listeners, it's basically like the Las Vegas of Florida. It is home to Disney World, Universal Studios, all the big theme parks. It is basically our tourist mecca. And that is where Brian was. And our hometown of Fort Lauderdale is southeast about 3 hours. And we are a kind of tourist Riyadh or something. We're not quite a mecca, right?
Nah.
Would you agree with that characterization, Brian?
Yeah, we're not there yet.
Okay. All right. So with picture kind of painted geographically, let's get into discussion. Who wants to go first? Nick, do you want to start closer to home and talk about your impressions of arcade night at the arcade game sales store?
Yeah, that's fine. So as Tom mentioned, I attended the retro arcade night, and it was the first time. You said there was like previous events of it, right?
Yeah, they moved to a bigger, better air-conditioned, more spacious location. So they had them in the past, but this one is hopefully the beginning of a much more regular and better arcade night.
Just the first impression that I got from it, I thought it was very interesting. I liked it a lot. I liked the setup. You definitely get your money's worth. It's about $12 for adults, $6 for kids. you know, play as much machines that are working, like, for as long as you want. And I got to, you know, I dabbled in all the retro games that I played as a kid, all the retro games I may have missed out on, and a line of pinballs, a good amount of co-op games, some shooters out there. So, like, the scene was good. Like, I went about the an hour after it opened, and, you know, you can tell, like, the vibe is, like, very, you know, very, like, close to home. I mean, for anybody over the age of 25 that's experienced an arcade-like setting when they were younger, it definitely brings you back. I actually got to try... There was this one retro game that I tried that I was not familiar with at all. Like, it was Tempest. Have you guys know about that one, right?
Yes, Tempest is the one where you're in sort of it's a 360 degree game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Tempest is a classic.
And just like turning the dial, like, I'd never played the game before, but it felt so natural to play that game. Like, it was very easy to pick up, and obviously as you progress it gets harder and harder. Well, it was such a great game. Like, I really enjoyed that. Played a lot of, like, a lot of the pinballs. Like, you know, again, like, you don't get that too much. And I actually had a friend of Tom's, who is my cousin, he brought his little kids there. And they're in the range of 8 to 8 and 10, I believe. I could be completely wrong. But in that range. And they have a strong affinity for games that came out before their time, like retro. What we consider retro, like, they are into it as well, which is very shocking compared to today's culture. Because if you look at today's culture, like, for example, there's some video on YouTube. I'm not going to mention them because I'm not going to plug them. They had these teenagers, like, look at a Nintendo system, the first Nintendo system, and they're like, oh, what is this? Like, oh, what is this, like a cell phone or something? Like, it's like, come on, seriously, you don't have to act like that. Like, that was unnecessary. And like, for them, and just the way they treated the system, like, everything was so foreign to them, you know? It's just, have a little bit of a, like, if you have, like, if you're into games, have a little bit of game culture and take a look at, like, do some research on, like, things that you may have missed out on so you wouldn't act like a doofus online. I mean, I'm pretty sure that was encouraged, but you know what I mean. Like, I'm just saying for my sake. Like, I guess that's just my little rant on that.
Yeah, that video series, I think, and I don't think we need to mention it, it's pretty well known, and Brian, I'm sure you've heard of it too. I think the whole thing is to, like, show the just completely dumbfounded reactions of teenagers, and then they have a companion series that's older people, like, what am I looking at? Whoa!
Yeah, like, that is their thing. Like, they do that to get... I'm sure they get a bunch of different reactions, but I'm sure they focus on those ridiculous reactions. So, anyways, enough talking about them. Who gives a crap? But, yeah, like, there was some great machines. Like, I loved playing Mario Brothers, like, the original Mario Brothers. Like, I loved that game when I was a kid. So, like, playing that, like, I was pretty much stuck on that machine a lot. And it was a good turnout. Like, I was asking Tom previously. I was like, hey, like, so what is the deal? Like, how packed does it get in there? Like, will I ever get to try a machine? He's like, yeah, it's, like, it's packed, but if you wait long enough, like, you will get to try it just about everything. And that's pretty much how it turned out. Like, I'm not really good at guessing how many people are in a room, but I want to say close to between 100 and 200. I could be completely off, but I mean, that's how full the place was looking. So it was
pretty good.
Yeah. And like, so enlighten me on this. I saw, cause I took some pictures and I'm probably going to post them later. I saw there was a sign hanging up in the place and it said, the King of Kong Arcade. I guess that's what it used to be called.
Yes. Okay. So, oh man, you're setting things up for a perfect segue. I'm going to answer your question. I'm going to ask you a question and then I'm going to toss it over to Brian because this is perfect.
Okay. Little history.
Our friend Steve Kleisath, who we had on 2 episodes ago in a somewhat less than optimum phone call, but nevertheless a cool episode, is going for some arcade world records. And one of his friends slash inspirations is Billy Mitchell, the quote-unquote villain of the classic arcade game-based movie King of Kong, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, for a time, and I may be wrong, but I believe this is the way it goes, the owner of Arcade Game Sales and Billy, and I hope I'm not wrong on this, I'm pretty sure this is the history, were involved together in an arcade, I think, at the Orlando International Airport called the King of Kong Arcade. And the sign you saw hanging in Arcade Game Sales is from there.
Oh, okay.
So that's the connection to that arcade. That's the connection to Orlando International Airport, which is in Orlando, Florida. And to complete my oh-so-perfect segue, I'm going to ask you a question, Nick. Take Arcade Game Sales as you saw it. Now add a bar slash lounge slash places for people to hang out.
Oof. Do you have a viable, awesome hangout?
Yes, definitely. That was probably my one gripe, even though it's not really a gripe. Like, it's just, it would have been an additional bonus. Like, if the dude was serving, like, drinks there, well, mainly beer. I'm a beer guy. If they were serving beer there, like, it would have been heaven. But it was still a hell of a lot of fun. But from what you're describing right there, yes, that sounds excellent.
Okay. With that softball pitch flung your way, Brian, that Nick thinks that the geek social establishment could work, and given the fact that you were just at one such place while you were in Orlando, Florida, where that arcade used to exist, knock it out of the park, man.
Cloak and Blaster was doing really well, and it just so happened, I didn't even plan this, that I came in on Thursday, which was the last night of their quote-unquote beta test. So they are now live with, you know, longer hours, and the upstairs, which is video gaming, is now opened.
Excellent.
Nice.
So, Nick, you can hang out with the college crowd, play, I don't know how retro they are, but they have systems, like, around couches upstairs, and they're, like, a huge microbrewery outlet. There's, like, probably 100 different beers.
Ugh, perfect.
Nick, it would be, from what I understand, it would be like mixing one of our local breweries called the Funky Buddha.
Oh, stop. That would be...
well, mix that with a gaming lounge, and I think you've kind of got what Brian's discussing here. Right, Brian?
Sure.
I don't think you've been to Funky Buddha, but it's a pretty nice place in Lauderdale.
I'm looking at Cloak and Blaster, and they're talking about, like, serving craft beers and stuff, and that's what he's essentially talking about, Brian. Like, serving craft beers, which is what the Funky Buddha is. Like, they're a craft brewery. So, yeah, that would be a killer mix. And this place, Cloak and Blaster, I've never been there, but I would like to make it a pit stop the next time I ever go to Orlando.
I highly recommend it. It was a pretty cool place. I have a picture of it somewhere. I'll have to share it on Instagram or something. I really dorked out because, you know, I was expecting, like, inside to be decorated.
Mm-hmm.
But not so much like outside, and I was expecting it to be like another like door.
Yeah.
Well, they have, you know how you like etch on a glass door.
Mm-hmm.
They frost etched the Mines of Moria door.
Oh, nice! Awesome.
Runes and everything.
That is really cool. That's classy, man. This place is a bar where you can play video games, right, Brian?
Yes, it was originally bar, and somebody was like, hey, it'd be really cool if we added, you know, tabletop and video games, and they were like, we should do that.
Nice. So there's a tabletop element as well.
Well, the downstairs is basically all tabletop, and they have a library that you can, they call it renting, but there's no charge unless you walk off with it. Their deal right. is you give them a credit card, and then if you like spill your beer on it, they charge you, or if you just walk off with it. Cool, you just bought it. That's no problem.
That means don't drink it up too much, you know, keep yourself at some kind of level playing feel. And not like a pun or anything, but I'm just saying, like, you don't want to be spilling. It doesn't work for the tabletop games and the ladies, apparently.
Well, it at least works for the tabletop games. I mean, I would think you just keep an inventory of games and all the drunken purchases that go on. I love this game, I'm gonna buy it! That just goes on all night. If Target had such customers, they would be even more rich than they already are. Target, the national retailer, I mean.
Mm.
I'm trying to keep it global. Like, I assume we have a global audience, so I feel the need to explain what Target is, what Florida is, what Orlando is, etc. Brian, we do have an international audience, do we not?
I think he is native to us, so yes, but he may know this stuff.
Okay.
I think he's a transplant.
Well, apologies to anybody who I'm insulting. Or not. We're almost home. So, I'm in Seattle. I've got my arms crossed, and I'm petulantly waiting for Florida to become, specifically our hometown of Fort Lauderdale in Southeast Florida, to become what I want it to become. A mere 3 hours north in Orlando, we've got something that's basically what I want. And that's not even mentioning that I think there's another place in Orlando called Player One Video Game Bar, which I don't think you had the chance to check out yet, right, Brian?
There are several, actually. There's the Player One, there's a comic shop, and the Geek Easy. And there's a new one opening, I think, this November called Gods and Monsters.
Yes, okay. I have been to a comic shop, and the Geek Easy is kind of like a little hangout they have in the back. It's a great shop. You should check it out. Player One, neither of us have been to. Let's talk about Gods and Monsters. From what I read, it's like the frigging biggest, like the second biggest comic shop in the U.S. opening in Orlando or something like that, right?
It is very large. I wouldn't want to speak to top 10-ism.
I think they made that boast on their... It's in the article that I read or something. But anyway... Yeah, what's going on with that? So here we have, just a mere 3 hours from our hometown, another awesome new establishment opening. Brian, you kind of know more about it than us. Enlighten us.
They are trying to do upscale retail, whereas I think some other people have already done and are doing well upscale hangout. Mm. They're trying to class up, like, go buy your comic books. So one of their big things is it's not collectible comics that you hope will be worth billions of dollars one day on a ratty wire shelf. They take
yes.
care of them for you ahead of time.
I've never ceased to be amazed by the wire shelves in comic shops, just as an aside. But that's cool. So they're kind of respecting the consumer a little. Instead of just some dingy strip mall bay with a bunch of long boxes full of moth-eaten comics, their presentation is going to be a lot better.
They're also handling or trying to handle the upscale collectible, you know, like the $600 statues of Batman that there's only 500 of in the world. They're appealing more to I want to say affluent, but definitely a stable adult crowd, as opposed to, "Mommy, Mommy, I want Doug!"
Doug.
I don't know if Doug has a comic book. That kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah, I saw that. That's funny.
Oh, that's good, Doug. Yeah, okay. So I dig it. That is awesome. So in Orlando, we are now going to have at least two classy bars and a comic and collectible shop that rises to our refined level.
Mm-hmm.
I ask you, what's it going to take those concepts and just bring them 3 hours south to our home city of Fort Lauderdale, Florida? Just take those and just bring them on down.
Money. Lots and lots of money. But let's say that we either already have that, or it is already... What, it, like, are we supposed to be funding this, or are you saying, like, they just make the decision to come down here?
Oh, no, I'm not suggesting that they come to our rescue and open franchises or anything down by us. I'm saying, what's it going to take for ventures like that to take off where we live? And I know in the case of Gods and Monsters, there's even a crowdfunding campaign underway. Maybe Brian can enlighten us on that as well. But, just what's it going to take to get something like this down here? I know we were on the Nerd Porn podcast several weeks ago, and that idea was kind of tossed around, the idea of a quote-unquote barcade. Brian and I have talked about opening different variations on cafe and comic shop and gaming shop and all these things, not comics, but more gaming for years. What's it going to take? How do you get the money? How do you get something like this going? And do we have the quote unquote scene for it in Fort Lauderdale as they have in Orlando, as they have up here in Seattle? Those are my questions.
Yes. Yes. Well, first off, we definitely have the scene because once, let's see, there's this example I have. Here we go. The Final Fantasy concert that I went to sometime last year.
Ah, yes.
I've never seen it. Has caused like ridiculous traffic because there was just amounts of nerd like swarming from all different regions of South Florida, whether it be West Palm, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, all into one location. And the way shit Miami is set up, it's basically funneling people. The point I'm trying to make is there is a scene. There is a lot of people. If people are attracted to it and are made aware of it, if you make these people aware, especially like people around our age and such, like there will be there is a scene for them to come to this particular location. We have places like this here, right? Like one place.
A bar that caters to quote unquote our crowd? I think not.
Oh, well then if we don't, then having one would definitely be beneficial then. So, and then the other idea that you mentioned earlier, the how to get the funding. I think put together the right Kickstarters, so to speak, you know, as long as you make it convincing to the people of South Florida. I mean, but it's when you put the Kickstarter, it goes out nationally. So I guess there's got to be some kind of incentive for like people to like throw money into this. I don't know if they have anything like local crowdfunding for like particular states, but I think that would be another way to go about it as well.
Yeah. Well, Brian, what do you think? Well, before I say anything, why don't you weigh in on those two points? One is the scene there, too. How do you put together the treasure to make something like this happen?
I would say, and I hate to disagree, and I hate to be a naysayer in
the second episode,
but I don't think we have the same crowd down here. Yeah, the concert was a big deal, but that was more of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity than, like, hang out every Tuesday night. So I don't think it's fair to say.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think we need, more so than money, because even places like Gods and Monsters and even places like Cloak and Blaster, who did have a Kickstarter, are just going to venture capitalists and saying this is going to happen. What we'd like to do is have a Kickstarter to make it cooler.
Mm-hmm.
I think you need a college campus. Not Broward College. Like a real college campus.
You mean go to a, like, have the location within distance of a college, right?
Like, pretty
let's
close,
say,
yeah.
Like, let's say, like, a Florida International University or a...
No, like a real college.
So you talk... Oh, well, if you want to go, like, further south, then you're asking for more money, like, in reality. Like, you want to pay those Miami prices for property? Yeah, but by all means, go for it.
Think Orlando prices for property are terribly cheap.
I think
But the point is we want to keep it in South Florida.
Right. Well, yeah. I think Brian's making a compelling point. Demographically, if you're going to take a slice out of any place, I think you would get the most people who would cater or who would patronize your establishment if you were in a college area. Now,
if FIU isn't an accredited college, then what is around here?
Well, that was my point. There isn't one.
Yeah, there isn't one.
So I don't think we have the crowd.
Okay, you're saying, first of all, full disclosure, Brian, is that your alma mater? You just...
secondly, it is accredited. I just don't think it's as huge a draw as a place like UCF or FSU or something like that. There's like 19 campuses and each one's 1,000 people. It's a totally different ballgame.
I see.
Agreed.
We don't have the concentration.
Yeah. That is a better point.
Okay, I don't necessarily disagree with that notion. I can think of, and again, I don't want to get too hyper local in terms of geography, but we do have sort of a confluence of colleges kind of west of our hometown of Fort Lauderdale in the town of Davie. There are a few universities centered around there.
Yeah, where the little center where there's like Nova, Broward College, and like FAU, right? Are you talking about like that little area, right?
Yes, there are two universities and a state college all in one little area. Yes, correct.
All right.
That might be okay.
Yeah, that was one of my few choices that I thought of. That or Oakland Park area. That seems to be having like a lot of like interesting things going on over there.
That is where the Funky Buddha Brewery that we talked about earlier is, actually, I think. So.
Yes.
Brian, what do you think of that college area?
That is a start. I don't think Davie is going to be, is going to have the population to support it.
That, and I don't think it's centralized enough. Like, you kind of have to, like, once you get off a highway, you kind of have to, like, weave your way in to, like, get to it. I don't know if that's a problem for people. Like, maybe people like something right off the highway.
You could kind of do 595 to Davie Boulevard. That's not terrible.
So we're now, to speak broadly, talking about sort of a central location. These colleges are kind of grouped together, clustered together, but not off of any, not very conveniently off of any main drags. Maybe something in that vicinity near some main highways. One of the challenges of our area, and this gets into my transit geekiness, is that we are very sprawly, very car-oriented. And so that presents a challenge in terms of setting up quote-unquote destinations. But I will say, Orlando is the same way. So I don't know if that's necessarily our Achilles heel in this case.
Hmm.
So my suggestions are, I'm personally a fan of locating it in a downtown entertainment district because that's a central place people go to be entertained. I obviously vote for my resident city, Fort Lauderdale, because I can basically walk to the entertainment district from where I live.
Oh, I know where you're going with this. You're talking about the old Las Olas area.
Right. I'm talking, or thereabouts. And anywhere close to where I live would be ideal. And I only say that because there is something of an entertainment district there. Another option might also be the Seminole Indians have a huge Hard Rock Casino with a bunch of bars and things there. That's another kind of entertainment district where you could possibly open something like that. And that has the advantage of not being too far from these colleges.
That did not seem to help Zero Ping.
Yow. Okay, Brian brings up a very dingy, very shoestring budget land center called Zero Ping, which was located in a strip mall and looked like the basement layer of the most awful.
There was mold on the walls. There was mold growing along the floor onto the walls.
Ugh.
And I really do think that the windows were covered in trash bags. They were black somehow. I think that was Glad.
Yes.
Where is this located?
It was actually directly across from the casino I just mentioned, but they were trying to repel people. They were completely unfriendly and unwelcoming. The place stunk of just unwashed nerd. In the back, they had some guys like discarded. I think somebody threw out a sofa and they just dragged it in off the curb. There were Cheetos bags and Mountain Dew bottles strewn all over. The place was disgusting. So, Brian, I don't think being located anywhere could help that place. That's my point. And you kind of touch on another point. I think people want classy. I think the reason Cloak and Blaster is going to succeed and Gods and Monsters is going to succeed is because people don't want their hobby associated with filth and just poor presentation and lack of respect, I think. But I had another question to answer, I think, and that was how to come up with the funding. I have wrestled with that for years. I have thought of putting some of my own money towards something like that.
Wow.
I've considered it, but you're talking about sinking a substantial amount of money if you want any kind of an operation. The real challenge I have is how you build your war chest to do something like this. And I like crowdfunding because then your customer base is basically coming forward and saying, we want this.
Yep.
And I think that's kind of brilliant, actually.
I don't think it would work. Even Cloak and Blaster raised $30,000. That's not enough to open a bar. And honestly, again, I hate to be a naysayer. Gods and Monsters is not doing very well. They've got less than 10 grand right now.
I'm going to have to go donate. I'm going to have to go tip them over with my generous donation. But
you can have a sushi dinner with Neil Gaiman for just $5,000.
That's pretty reasonable to have sushi with a guy that probably doesn't want anything to do with me. okay, hold on. Let me back up here for a second.
You mentioned that Cloak and Blaster did a crowdfunding thing to for some enhancements, but you're saying they had a core financing package prior to that.
I would like to qualify this statement because it could be taken out of context as negative. I like Cloak and Blaster. I like the Kickstarter campaign that they had. I consider them a huge success, and when I open my own, I'm going to use this as a model. They used Kickstarter as advertising to open something that was going to happen with or without the campaign.
Ah, yes.
Okay, so they got that buy-in from their built-in audience. They got them to put their monies, I think that's proper, where their mouths were, coming in with some crowdfunding cash, but they weren't depending on them. This was happening. They had a strategy. This was going to be a business one way or another.
Their goal, I'm looking at the numbers now. Their goal was $15,000, which, seriously, if you're going to open a place, that's a pittance.
Yes.
They raised $32,686, which is, 200% their goal, but still a pittance. And their Kickstarter was very clear. We want this to theme our bar. There's a bar going in. We want this to theme the awesome pub for geeks.
Okay. All right. So they had all the real nuts and bolts of the liquor license and all that other stuff squared away. This was to theme it.
I think they just went through banks and venture capitalists like every other business. Again, which I think is positive.
All right, there you have it. We have to do the one thing that is impossible for... I don't want to say impossible. We have to do the one thing that doesn't normally get associated with people who like to spend a lot of their time playing video games and et cetera, which is put together a business plan and become business people. And this doesn't just go for us. This goes for anybody who wants to open a place like this. We have to, if you want a business, you got to basically create a business and approach it with a business mindset. Yes, it's the business that you've always dreamt of, but still, you've got to approach it from the perspective of a business person.
Of course you do, because it's not what you're interested in. It's what is going to make the money. Am I right?
It is, unless... if you're being honest with yourself, you come to a different conclusion. And a friend of mine told me this one time. Make sure what you want is a business. Make sure what you want is a business and not just a private club / hangout / clubhouse for you and your friends and people you like. Because the latter can be had. Like, if you're willing to spend money, you can set up your own private clubhouse and only invite certain people and maybe even charge them to come and go, to be members. But to open a public joint is another kettle of fish altogether.
And yeah, that was actually a better way of explaining it. Yeah, good point.
And what do you think of that, Brian? I think your heart is in actually opening the public place, though, right?
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, sure, I'd hang out there when my shift is done or during downtime if possible. I'd like to be a little bit of both at least. But ultimately, it is, I kind of want to build a community around my passion and, you know, call it pathetic if you want, but retail and providing people with entertainment that they kind of can't get anywhere else has always been a passion of mine. I really enjoy that line of work.
Yeah, you are actually good at providing excellent service to people. I've known you for a long time, and that you do excel at it because you're good with people. You're good at, like, you actually enjoy giving people a good experience, which is a rare trait, I would say.
I wouldn't want to sell cars, but most people come in, dude, what's a cool game? Dude, this game is awesome! And you get paid for it? That's great.
Right, you are genuinely enthusiastic about customer service and helping people, especially when it comes to things you're passionate about. And that's not too common. So I think to bring it back away from, like, I didn't want to make it sound like we were wrongheaded and we want to pursue our dreams and open this place. I think it does come down to, as people of a certain entertainment persuasion, let's say, there's a yearning for a place we can go to hang out that caters to us. So it seems like a no-brainer to open such an establishment. And where the not no-brainer comes in is the actual logistics of doing that. So if this episode serves no other purpose, perhaps it can motivate somebody to come to our region and open a place like this before we do, because it's our definite goal, right? Right, guys?
Correct.
Hey, Brian?
Oh, did you? I was gonna let Nick speak for both of us. Yeah, it's a matter of when.
There you go. And it all started here. The Nerd Travaganza podcast isn't so much a podcast as it is the foundational stone of our empire. Or so we like to think.
I don't know if I should admit this. People might take it wrong, but I've always considered this brand building.
I kind of do too. I think having like an online identity of any kind is a form of brand building. I mean, otherwise we could just not bother and just like call our podcast like Three Dudes Talking. What's up? Right?
You have to build a brand out of this because there's going to be like, how am I going to put this? Not of use, but I don't know. It's just, it establishes something. There's a purpose or said purpose in the future for it. You know, like you're not just sticking around.
Oh, thank you, Nick. You put it very succinctly. Yes, we are not, in fact, just dicking around. And at least I don't feel like we are. And look, I've put my money where my mouth is. I have spent tens to hundreds of dollars on this enterprise so far. I'm kind of half joking. But Brian, I think, Nick, you've recently come on board, but I think we put a fair amount of effort into this thing. And we're about as serious as anybody else out there on the internet.
I think once upon a time, we did the math on, oh, I'm going to quit my job and work at this place to make it happen. And that is never a good idea. If you're a professional, work your job and pay someone to do this job.
Yes.
If you're making $45 an hour consulting, don't quit. Just hire a barista.
Right. That's the problem, though. And I think we can end after this, but I do want to mention that. If you're working slobs and you make enough money that you could fund a place like this, you then have to find the third party who you trust to run it and love it like it is their own business, right?
Well, yeah, somebody you trust not to burn down the place. I mean, you can drop by after work and make sure it's running right.
Yeah, you're probably right. Oh, man. All right, so let's wrap things up on a fun note. Not that this hasn't been fun, but I don't know if we got too businessy and people have tuned out. Let's go over, just real quick, give me a blow-by-blow, and I think we may have done this in past episodes, but it's always fun, description of what your dream business is, like cosplay, arcade, bar, coffee shop, that kind of thing. So just string a few things together, a few adjectives if you like, and give me your dream business. Nick, go.
Could you go first so I can, like, scramble something together?
No, Brian, maybe you can go. You're good with adjectives and words.
Okay, so gym membership. You walk in, you go straight to the locker rooms, you change into your clothes, your garb, and then you go back into the common area. So you're in cosplay, you're hanging out, you're drinking, you meet with your people, and then you go into yet a third area where it's augmented reality missions and with your party, with the party of people you met. So while you're LFG, you're hanging out, drinking, and playing tabletop. And when you're ready to kill the dragon, you get your people and you march off together in garb.
Nice.
I could dig that.
In garb. So you're in costume, and you said, did you say gym membership? So you're kind of getting exercise while you're doing this?
No. I said gym membership just to describe the style. Like, you know, there's a locker room and you have to, you know, zip in and there's showers. Because if you work up a sweat killing the dragon, you don't want your business clothes ruined. Or...
Okay, I can dig it. So you've got a locker room to change to get into costume. Okay, awesome. I didn't know if we wanted to go with exertion there. I love it. Okay, Nick, does that kind of give you a direction?
Yeah, it does.
All right, hit it.
All right, so I got this idea, maybe like a bar set up with whatever, like a lot of different styles of gaming. And on top of that, to not be too typical, even though it's not really a typical thing, you have an app tie-in to the bar. Mm-hmm. So like when you drink certain drinks, and if you drink a certain amount of drinks, you get experience. And then when you play games, you're kind of on the grind. And then on top of that, if you happen to have too many drinks and you throw up, then you kind of get downsized. Like they know who you are, your ID is tagged, and you actually get devalued. But there's certain achievements you can tie in into that, and I just think making it like a interactive experience would be the way to go with it. That way it would get people very involved.
The liability of encouraging drinking.
well, like there will be a disclosure to do it responsibly.
Well, I kind of agree about the liability thing, but I see these two maybe tying together. Here we see basically making the experience interactive and encouraging participation in the venue by letting people level up. You get achievements or experience points or whatever. And drinking responsibly maybe earned you experience, let's say.
I think that it'd work great. I don't see why when you come into the common area, you don't turn on your little app or activate your app or whatever, and it has your stats, and you can get experience and gamble for gold while you're there. And that's how they find you. No one's standing up shouting, you know, hey, are you looking for a group? They're clicking their app. Hey, we've got DPS over here. He's not drunk yet. Let's pick him up.
Yes. Oh, that.
All right. Here's mine. Now, I mentioned the cosplay thing because the staff are going to be integral. They're going to need to cosplay for this to work. I've mentioned this a few times in the past in just private conversation. So here's kind of what I'm thinking. And it can work with the two concepts you guys came up with. I want the place to be dynamic. I want you to walk in on a Monday, and it's a starship, and everybody's dressed as, like, anime androids or something, right?
Yeah.
And then you walk in the next day, and it's Ye Old Dragon's Tavern. And it's accomplished not just with modular pieces of furniture and changing things out, but because you've got these, I don't know, rear projectors or something. Like, all the walls are basically projections, so that you can, like, almost in a snap, change the theming from space to fantasy to steampunk and what have you. And, of course, to say nothing of what you could do around holiday time. So just imagine a place changing. Like, and so Monday through Friday, you've got a different theme, and then on the weekends, you have different themes. Like, I think that would make the place awesome because you'd have crowds. You'd have different crowds showing up on their nights, or maybe you'd have some people going to all the different nights.
Yeah, having these, I guess you can call events, would really, like... create some variety.
Yeah, and to say nothing of, again, like just imagine walls you could project anything on, like the entire wall is a projection or is a display, let's say. Let's just say you have a launch party for
Destiny 2, the entire place becomes themed that way. Like just
yes.
Right.
I think it could be awesome. Not to say nothing of like showing like live gameplay from in the past or from the back room, or in the case of Brian's concept, showing the adventurers doing their adventuring live, or showing every time somebody gets an achievement, Nick, in your concept, you know, it pops up on the on a wall for everybody to see. Everybody, and there's accolades. I mean, there's so much you could do.
There is.
I think if we just raise a cool mill, we probably got the funds to get that going.
I think so. But what it sounded like at first, when you were saying that the staff had the cosplay, I was like, wait a second, this guy wants like a westernized like maid cafe. I was like, where's this guy going?
No. That's an intriguing concept in and of itself, but they would need to cosplay to just basically go with the theme of the night. That's all. And even if it's, you know, I'd want to hire people that were into that stuff. I wouldn't want to force them, obviously. But I think you could find some enthusiast bartenders / baristas / servers / whatever entertainment people you need that would be into that. So there you go. I think we have some solid concepts. I think that anybody with venture capital burning a hole in their wallet should get in touch with us. Anybody looking to fund this enterprise should definitely consider any or all of these concepts. We are willing to work with you. We're the idea men. You're the money man. Or woman. And I think we can work together and make this happen. What do you guys think?
That sounds splendid.
I've said this for a year. I think write a business plan.
All right. That's what we're going to do as soon as we're done with this episode. Write a business plan.
Generally, step one.
Yes, agreed. But let's talk about some other steps that our future patrons can take right now to be part of the Nerdstravaganza universe before we open our first bar/VR/cosplay/etc. hangout. The steps are really simple. Step one, you can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or using whatever other podcatching software you might happen to use. Step 1B, if step 1A was not to your liking, you can also check us out on the excellent streaming service known as Stitcher.
Step 2 is follow us on social media, being Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or G+.
And if you would like to take it to a step 3, be sure to check out nerdstravaganza.com. And for 3B, email at nerdstravaganza@gmail.com.
And the final step in this guide to a better living is to tune into our next episode. Until then, have one on us.